الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولو شئنا لبعثنا في كل قرية نذيرا. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى الغداة جاء خدم المدينة بآنيتهم فيها الماء، فما يأتون بإناء إلا غمس يده فيها، فربما جاءه بالغداة الباردة فيغمس يده، أو كما قال.
Honorable scholars, slippery. Let me try again. My brother, don't laugh at him. You and I are worse. How many times didn't you go to that woman and it messed your marriage, and you came and you cried and you back at that woman? How many times didn't you pop a pill and see the calamities, the miseries it brought in your life? You begged Allah, you beseeched Allah, and then again you went through some fluctuation and turbulence in your marriage and you reverted back to that pill. لا يلدغ المؤمن من جحر واحد مرتين. The Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a believer, once bitten, twice shy. When he's bitten by a snake once, he will never allow that snake to bite him again till he dies. He learns his lesson once. The dignity and the maturity, the respect and the vision of a believer never allows him to repeat his mistake. He learns once and for all. He never reverts to his wrong. That's a road I will never tread again. I learned the hard way. I got my mistake. I'll never do it again. Since the day you pursued an illicit relation, be honest with yourself. You had no pleasure with your spouse. Be honest with yourself. You got up 12 o'clock in the night knowing no what to do. That is the nature of sin. When others are sleeping, you'll be up. When others are up, you'll be sleeping. When people are happy, you'll be sad. When people are sad, you'll be miserable. Ask those that are Allah guide, one and all. That's the package of sin that comes with it. So again the temptation came. He said, let me go again. So he mounts onto his horse again. And he starts strutting it. And the master hears footsteps. Allahumma kfinahum bima shi'at. Oh my Allah, I think he is coming again. Take care. Take care, oh my Allah. The earth splits for the second time. He shouts out, oh Muhammad, this time I am genuine, forgive. The master, unconditionally, I have forgiven you. Someone came to Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi and said, how many times should I forgive my employee? He said, as many times as you want Allah to forgive you. How many times should I forgive my employee? He said, as many times as you want Allah to forgive you. As many times as you want Allah to forgive. Decide for yourself. You know that sin of yours and you cry to Allah in that seclusion. You say, my Lord, it's only you. If it was a humankind and I had to beg for forgiveness, they would have closed the chapter on my generation by now. They would have, you know, he's written off, he's marked, he's in a black book. Suraqa says, again there was a clash of emotions. For the third time I said, let me take my last try. The devil never despairs. He's going to try. As perhaps your spirit is at its pinnacle. It's at optimum level now. I'm not going to revert. But don't think it's over from the devil. It's never over. He's going to be at it. So Suraqa said, again, there's this urge, man. 100 camels? No, man. 100 camels, you know, that's an asset, man. It's an asset. I mean, end of the day, we can always repent. Those are the provocations and the tricks of the devil. So he says, I pursue for the third time. I pursue for the third time, not knowing the plan of Allah was much beyond. Not knowing the plan of Allah was much beyond. Many people entered as journalists and returned as believers. Many people entered to record things and they were exposed to the beauty of Islam. Suraqa says, I went for the third time and again the earth splits. And the master glances and the same thing is repeated. And I realized, no, now the chapter is over. Now it's do or die. Either I embrace the faith or I'm dead. I said, oh Muhammad, halt. I swear by Allah, I'm convinced you're the divine man. I want to come forward and I want to accept your faith. So he comes forward and he apologizes. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that's fine, but we're obviously on the journey of Hijrat and we have to keep our movements very discreet. So we don't have time to engage in a lengthy dialogue. The location doesn't warrant a detailed discussion. There was obviously no drop me an email and I'll let you know in that type of a discussion. But anyway, be it as it may, can you give me some written agreement that you've given me amnesty and you've pardoned me and this chapter is over and you'll never hold this back against me? So Amir ibn Fuhayra was with, he had a piece of leather. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, write for him and tell him that we have forgiven him and we've pardoned him. He offered some food that he had. He said, oh Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I have food that I brought for me. You know, I thought I would be coming and apprehending you and 100 camels and I'll be rejoicing, so I brought food with me. But can Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah has fed us and taken care of us, we are fine. Just do one thing. لا تترك أحدا يلحق بنا. لا تترك أحدا يلحق بنا. You go back and anybody come in and pursue, just ward them off. Just ward them off and tell them that, you know, try and put an end that they don't pursue. He said, that is fine. And he expresses his sentiments and embraces the faith. Nabi Sassam said, Suraqa, listen. Let me tell you, a time is going to come in your life. You're going back now. Allahu Akbar. My faith will prosper. And it will go beyond the boundaries of Arabia. And Islam will spread. And it will go way beyond. It will go into Arabia, beyond Arabia. It will conquer the Rome and the Persian Empire. And a time will come that the bracelet of the Persian ruler will come in the spoils of the Muslims. You will be present at that time. You will be summoned. And the bracelet of that king will be given to you. And it will be put on your hand. He said, oh Muhammad, are you talking of Kisra ibn Hurmuz? Now Kisra ibn Hurmuz, that was the seat of power at that time. That was the seat of authority and dominion. From there everything was happening. Are you talking of Kisra ibn Hurmuz? Nabi Sassam said, yes, I'm talking of Kisra ibn Hurmuz. Kayfa bika ya Suraqa, idha labista siwara Kisra ibn Hurmuz. Nabi Sassam spelled it out. Word for word, letter for letter. Anyway, he returns from there. Where have you heard in the history of mankind that an assassin or a would-be assassin becomes the bodyguard of that very same person in one day? Where you are part of an intelligence to intercept him and by the evening you are the bodyguard of the very same man. What was the profoundness of the character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He comes back to Makkah. He calls Abu Jahl. Aba Jahlin wallahi law kunta shahida. Aba Jahlin wallahi law. You have to read Arabic, man. Aba Jahlin wallahi law kunta shahida. Li amri jawadi id tasukhu qawaimu. Alimta walam tushakkik bi anna Muhammadan rasulun bi burhanin. Faman dha yuqawimu. Alayka bi kaffil qawmi anhu. فإني أرى أمره يوما ستبدو معالمه. Abu Jahl, let me talk to you heart on heart. We've got this anti-Islamic agenda. And we passionately, vehemently hate the cause. I came so close to the man that nobody possibly came close. My life was on stake. I promise you, this man is genuine. He's wholesome. He's pure. He's embracing. Believe it or not, Abu Jahl, I have accepted the faith. And I'm conveying the message to you, lest you regret and hold me accountable on the day of Qiyamah. During the reign of Umar ibn Khattab, قل للمخلفين من الأعراب ستدعون إلى قوم أولي بأس شديد تقاتلونهم أو يسلمون. If you read under the commentary of this ayat, you will see. It was the reign of Umar ibn Khattab. Persia was conquered. The bracelet of Kisra ibn Hurmuz was brought into Medina. Sahaba was sitting. And then Umar starts crying. Sometimes your mother says, Dikra, my son, you will see this will happen, this will happen. And you think, but it's remote, it's far-fetched. Will it ever happen? And then your mother passes away. And you see her du'as opening up in your life. And she said, Allah will bring this wealth your way. And Allah will bring that prosperity your way. And then those tears come. And you say, when my mother said it, I thought she was, you know, making far-fetched statements. Today my mom is gone, not to see the prosperity, but what she said stares at me openly in my eyes. Umar is sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi, and the spoils of the war come, and Umar starts crying, and he says, call Suraqa. Suraqa was called. He said, Suraqa, you remember that night of Hijrat. Suraqa, you remember that night of Hijrat when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making Hijrat with Abu Bakr and you pursued and you wanted to apprehend and then you embraced the faith and he prophesied and he said, you're going to be given this bracelet to wear. Here's the bracelet and here stands the prophecy. Wallah, every statement of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will manifest itself. Every statement. And then Umar said, say Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillahi alladhi salabahuma min Kisra ibn Hurmuz wa albasahuma Suraqat al-A'rabi. Oh Suraqa, say all praise belongs to Allah. That which I couldn't see in my life, leave alone seeing the bracelet, I couldn't get a glimpse of the Kisra of that time. Such was his pomp and his glory, his might and his authority. Today Allah brought his bracelet and put it on my hand as prophesied by Nabi on the night of Hijrat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes further. The narration of Dalailun Nubuwa. Buraida Aslami comes. Buraida Aslami comes with 70 people. What's his agenda? To assassinate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now imagine this here. These 70 people come close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the calmness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many a times people talk to us in a hostile way because they know no better. Many times people are apprehensive towards us and they're watching us. You know? What is this man doing? I'm just taking out my lunch to eat in the plane. That's all. I just want to eat my food. Oh, thank you. That guy said, I was praying. And when I stopped praying, others started praying. So how do we conduct ourselves with fellow humans and fellow citizens? Sometimes a man might be apprehensive towards me because he doesn't know better about me. These are people that are coming to assassinate Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are coming with an agenda. Dalailun Nubuwa's narration. 70 people. Buraida Aslami and 70. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who are you? He said, I am Buraida. Now, again, this is a bit of Arabic grammar here. But I will try and simplify it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never believed in bad omens. In Islam, there's no superstitions and bad omens. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deduced good meanings. So, for example, if there was complexity in an issue, and a person came whose name was Suhail. Now, the word Suhail in Arabic is derived from the word Sahal, which means ease. So, often the Prophet ﷺ would say, oh, Suhail came. So, that means ease will now flow. So, he would deduce positive connotations from situations, and this happens often in the hadith. This can be, you know, substantiated with multiple examples. So, there was no merit to bad omens. But often he made noble deductions from different situations. So he looked at this brother, he said, what's your name? Now, speaking to your would-be assassins, and look at the calmness. So what's your name? He said, my name is Buraida. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at Abu Bakr and he said, Baruda Amruna wa Saluha. Baruda Amruna. Buraida means to be cold and cool. So when he said his name is Buraida, which means cold and cool, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at Abu Bakr and he said, okay, Abu Bakr, then the matters are cool and chilled and relaxed. Nothing to stress about. All is taken care of. Cool. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, from which tribe do you come? He said, Mim Bani Aslam. From the tribe of Aslam. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Salimna ya Abu Bakrin. Salimna. Now, Aslam in Arabic could mean submit, surrender, peace, safety. Which tribe you come from? I come from the tribe of Aslam. Nabi says, oh, okay, then we are all safe, man. We cool, we safe. By the way, which branch of that tribe? So he said, Mim Bani Sahmin. Nabi said, Kharaja Sahmuka lil Islam. Read the narration of Dalailun Nubuwa. Sahm in Arabic could mean share or it could mean arrow. Which branch? He said, from Bani Sahm. Which means a share or a portion. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, then you have allotted your portion of Islam by your own words. He said, give me your hands, ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna muhammadan. Let me confess, there are 70 here, we wanted to kill you, we all want to read kalima now. They embrace Islam. Then he says, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can we be part of the entourage as you make your appearance into Medina? Or are we new Muslims? So we, and he said, please join us. The 70 that came to assassinate now joined the crew to Medina. Then Buraida says, only way of Allah, just a proposal. Read, it's in Sirat al-Mustafa. This whole narration is there with the reference. O Nabi of Allah, you're going to enter. It would be so nice if you have a bit of a flag. Nabi Sassam said, that's fine. Nabi Sassam took out his blessed turban. Buraida took out his spear, created a little flag. And these people who were going to commit the act of treason, who were going to assassinate the master, now rally around him as his devout companions as he makes his presence into Medina. Among this journey of Hijrat, another incident that had happened. I'm saying, look at the pardon and the clemency of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr and Abdullah ibn Ariqat and Amir ibn Fuhaira, they come to the house of Umm Ma'bad radiallahu anha. Umm Ma'bad was a very elderly woman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed there. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Umm Ma'bad, do you have any provisions to provide for us? Any food, any drinks? فَلَمْ يُصِيبُ عِنْدَهَا شَيْئًا She says, no, I don't have anything. I don't have absolutely nothing. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then seen one goat walking. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh, Umm Ma'bad, this your goat? She said, yes. So what happened to this goat? خَلَّفَهَا الْجُهْدُ This animal is so weak and frail. So the flock left this animal and the flock is ahead. And this animal is on the verge of death. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abiha min labanin. Does this goat have any milk in it? So she said, Hiya ajhadu min dhalik. This on the verge of death, you're asking for milk. I don't know, you know. Or milk. What's it? Whatever the correct pronunciation is. Milk. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, can I just, you know, take out some milk and milk it? She said, In ra'ayta biha labanan fahlibha. I'm telling you, the animal is on the verge of death. But if you want to try your luck and you feel you can get something, by all means, go for it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read Bismillah and gently stroked the udder and the milk started flowing one way. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, get me a vessel quickly. And Umm Ma'bad is like, my word. It's brimming. It's brimming. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Umm Ma'bad first. First you drink. First you drink. Because obviously she's going to be excited and everything. What's happening? First you drink. She drank till she was satiated. Her thirst was quenched. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then passed the vessel around. Everybody had till they were satiated. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for another vessel. A vessel was brought and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam filled that vessel up also. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gave it to Umm Ma'bad radiallahu anha. And he said that you can keep this. Gave it to her and then he left. As they leave from there, the husband Abu Ma'bad comes back. And to his utter surprise, when he left dry, no milk, this animal was on the verge of death, and now subhanAllah, it's moving swiftly and it's looking healthy and there's milk and the wife is... Imagine you leave $500 and you come back and there's $5,000. It's the reverse. You leave $5,000 and you'll be lucky if there's anything less. And how dare you ask where you spent? It's not for me, it's for your children. Got nothing to do with me. It's all your children. I didn't buy anything from you. I'm just asking. So the husband is like, wow, that's great. What happened? She said, Ja'ana rajulun mubarakun. Ja'ana rajulun mubarak. One amazing man came. Fi unuqihi sat'un. He was slightly tall. Fi lihyatihi kathasa. He had a dense beard. Hulul mantiq. Sweet in his speech. Profound in his character. Gently he came and he stroked the other and it was just brimming with milk. Abu Ma'bad said, I'm telling you, my wife, that is that Qurayshi man. That is this Qurayshi man. Let's go and embrace the faith. So Abu Ma'bad and Umm Ma'bad, husband and wife both, this is the journey of Hijrat, not the journey where giving Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving dawah. On the way, whoever came into contact got hidayat. I'm saying if you're going to China for business or Dubai for a holiday or you're going to Paris for shopping, live the character of Muhammad. If you meet a man in the queue or you meet a man in a common lobby or you're staying and sharing a hotel, Let the profoundness of your character attract him to the beauty of Islam. This was not a dedicated mission of calling people. It's a subtle movement. But whoever came into contact was impressed. And as he goes, there's this unseen voice that calls out these couplets. Jazallahu Rabbun Nasi Khayra Jazaihi. Jazallahu Rabbun Nasi Khayra Jazaihi. Khalilaini. Halla Rafi. Halla Khaymatay Umme Ma'badin. Huma Nazalaha Bil Huda Fahtadat Bihi. فقد فاز من أمسى رفيق محمدي ليغني أبا بكر سعادة جده بصحبته من يسعد الله يسعدي ليهني بني كعب ليهني بني كعب مقام فتاتهم ومقعدها للمؤمنين بمرصدي سلوا أختكم عن شاتها وإنائها فَإِنَّكُمْ إِن تَسْأَلُ الشَّاتَ تَشْهَدِي. Oh, what profound words. What profound words. As they leave, these unseen couplets call out, جَزَلَّهُ رَبُّ النَّاسِ خَيْرَ جَزَائِهِ. May Allah grant the best of rewards. خَلِيلَيْن, to two people. حَلَّ خَيْمَتَيْ أُمَّ مَعْبَدٍ, who came to this tent of Umme Ma'bad. Huh? And in the words representing the sentiments of Umme Ma'bad, the poet is saying, congratulating Abu Bakr, that, oh Abu Bakr, this man came in my tent, and in 5 minutes he changed my whole destiny. What must be your honor where you live with him, oh Abu Bakr? 5 minutes and my whole life changed. In 5 minutes the man came, touched my goat, left me thinking, drank the milk, embraced the faith, myself and my husband. It's amazing. You know, sometimes you take the wife and buy a gift. It's amazing what that one gift can do to 3 years, 3 weeks of, you know, turbulence in the marriage. And then say, as it was, it's as simple as a gift. I'll try it out next time. But it doesn't always work. Oh, Abu Bakr, congratulations to you. 5 minutes and my life changed. لِيَهْنِ بَنِي كَعْبٍ مَقَامَ فَتَاتِيَ. Now listen to this here. لِيَهْنِ بَنِي كَعْبٍ مَقَامَ فَتَاتِهَا وَمَقْعَدُهَا لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَرْصَدِ. Congratulations to you, Umme Ma'bad. How fortunate were you indeed that your tent was located on the very pathway through which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed, and that luck and that honor and that privilege came your way. But then the poet takes it to an unprecedented level. The takhayyul of the sha'ir. The takhayyul is amazing here. He said, the tale is so unique. The tale is so amazing. Go to the tent of Umme Ma'bad and go and ask her. Go and ask Umme Ma'bad, oh Umme Ma'bad, tell me the story about the goat, and she will tell it to you. But he goes on to say, beyond that, if you go there and Umme Ma'bad is not there, you can ask the goat. The goat will narrate the tale. Oh my words. Oh my Allah. What a Nabi. You know, you say go there, if he's not there, the son will be there. If the son is not there, yeah, you can just drop it off, or see his son will be, or someone will be there. The poet says, go there, Umme Ma'bad is there. And if Umme Ma'bad is not there, the goat is there. Salu ukhtakum an shatiha wa ina'iha fa innakum in tas'alu shata tashhadi. And then what happens? Same Khasais al-Kubra of Allama Suyuti on page 311, the narration is mentioned. Umme Ma'bad radiallahu anha says, never mind, our life change, this goat's life change. She says, we were counting the minutes that this animal is going to die. If you ask me the truth, this goat outlived everybody. She says, the time came, all the other animals died. There was drought, there was famine. There wasn't a blade of grass, hence there wasn't any milk. كُنَّا نَحْلِبُهَا صَبُوحًا وَغَبُوقًا وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَلِيلٌ وَلَا كَثِيرٌ. Read the narration on page 311 in Khasais al-Kubra. كُنَّا نَحْلِبُهَا صَبُوحًا وَغَبُوقًا وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَلِيلٌ وَلَا كَثِيرٌ. Drought, famine, hunger, poverty. The only animal giving milk at that time was this goat. And we were just, you know, taking in gallons, as much as we wanted. I'm saying to you, my brother, if a gentle stroke from the blessed hand turned the destiny of a goat differently, empowered the life of Umm Mabud and her husband, if you and I exhibit this character and embrace that life and display this character, what won't Allah do for us? What won't Allah do for us? I want to end with one hadith and wrap it up on that note. Time is running out. Obviously, there's so much that could have been said. And that is about the very, very emotional moment of the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And on that note, I want to wrap it up. The hadith of Bukhari, Aisha radiallahu anha said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam returned from Jannatul Baqi. فَوَجَدَنِي أَجِدُ سُدَاعًا فِي رَأْسِي. When he came home, I had a headache. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself had a headache. So he came home and he said, wa ra'asa. I've got a headache. My head is heavy. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, bal ana wa ra'asa. I've got a splitting, piercing headache. And then, a bit light-hearted, but it was painful. Husband and wife, anybody who is a couple would relate to these sentiments and identify with this dialogue. So one saying, yeah, if I go, and the other one saying, yeah, if you go, and if I go, who'll live? So Aisha radiallahu anha said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha, but if you go, you got great consolation. She said, I will pass away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will pass away. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha, but look at the consolation you enjoy if you pass away. غَسَلْتُكِ كَفَّنْتُكِ صَلَّيْتُ عَلَيْكِ وَوَارَيْتُكِ. I will give you ghusl. I will see that you're given kafan. I will perform your prayer and I will lower you in the grave. I mean, death is inevitable. But what a consolation for you that your husband is the Nabi. Your husband is the Nabi and the greatest Nabi. So that's all the things I will do for you. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, that's all you'll do. Read the narration. I said, Subhanallah, my mother Aisha, I love you to the highest level. And I respect you. Abu Musa Ash'ari said, Mashtakala alayna ashabu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say'an illa sa'alna Aisha. Whenever we had complexity in hadith, we used to go and ask our mother Aisha, she used to resolve the difficulties of hadith. A man like Abu Musa Ash'ari, لَقَدْ أُوْتِيْتَ مِزْمَارًا مِّمْ مَزَامِيرِ آلِ دَاوُودِ, who had a profound voice. He said, Aisha used to resolve it. Such was her knowledge. But she was a woman and she had her human, common woman sentiments. Read the hadith of Bukhari. Normally when I come across hadith like that, I always call my wife and like, read this with me, man. Like, are you like this? Subhanallah. We salute Aisha radiallahu anha. And we marvel at the broadness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's shoulder. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will give you ghusl. I'll give you kafan. I'll lower you in the grave. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, that's all? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, well, that's all I think I should be doing. Said, can I complete the sentence for you? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, complete it. She said, wallahi la raja'ta ila bayti wa ta'arrasta bi ba'di nisa'ik. The hadith of Bukhari. You will lower me in the grave, you will cover me, and soon after that you will come to my house, call one of your other wives and become intimate with them. Now I'm saying, these are woman emotions. Look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He answered to this provocation nothing more than a smile. Oh my words. These were the words, If it was us, I'm talking of death. And you thinking I'm going to do other. Just look at the composure, the calmness, the balance, the measure, the maturity, the respect, the restraint. What did she say? I think, O Nabi of Allah, you will come back immediately. وَتَعَرَّسْتَ بِبَعْضِ النِّسَائِكَ فِي بَيْتِي. And you will become intimate with one of your other spouses in my house. All this Aisha radiallahu anha said, fatabassam. The only thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did was smile. He didn't complete it, not a sarcastic smile. You know, because there's that sarcasm also, that smile, that's like forcing on that smile. By the way, I read a scientific write-up that when you frown, you exert more facial muscles than when you smile. So it's more costly to frown, it's cheaper to smile. You know, like you're pulling up, scientifically they say when you are frowning, you're exerting more of your facial muscles and veins. So there's a gush of more blood and you're creating more problems for yourself. It's cheaper to smile. The only curve that puts things straight. They say, what is a smile? The only curve that makes things straight. Provided you smile with the right person. Nadhrun, fabtisamun, fakalamun, famaw'idu. Nadhrun, fabtisamun, fakalamun, famaw'idu. The poet says, it's that stray glance, then it's a smile, then it's a hello hi, and then it's an email and a phone number, and then it's zina. Nadhrun, fabtisamun, fakalamun. It's a stray glance, and then it's a smile, and then it's a hello and hi, and it's exchange of phone numbers, and that's it. There was a very, very serious thing that happened now. It happened to a non-Muslim girl, but it gave me a shiver because it happened, one of my cousins told me the story. Her husband has got a pharmacy. So there was this non-Muslim woman, back home in South Africa it happened. This non-Muslim woman would come every week, a very respectful woman, a measured woman, affluent family, and she would come for this antidepressant pills. So my cousin gave her once, twice, thrice, but then she started persisting. So then she just felt it's a moral obligation that she cautions the patient that, you know what, it might be solving the problem momentarily, but long term the nasty effects of this are detrimental to your health. So she said, you know what, sister, if you don't mind, I just thought I'd bring it to your notice. The pill that you're taking, this thing comes with a host of side effects. So there was a crack in her voice, and she tears and she breaks down. She says, oh, must I tell you my tale? So my cousin said, sorry, I don't want to get very personal, and I don't want to offend you, but I just thought I'd tell you something. This happened very close to where I stay. So she said, let me tell you my tale. My tale is as follows. My daughter got chatting with a strange man on Facebook or whatever. And the nature of the discussion was unfortunately very immoral, obscene, romantic. And then finally, when they both identified themselves, my daughter realized she was speaking to my husband, to her father. She was so disgusted that my biological father was using such language, and the discussion got so personal and private and immoral and obscene. It was so deplorable, so despicable, that she couldn't imagine for the last 3 weeks the guy, the man, who I was supposedly chatting with is my father. In a fit of anger, she committed suicide. And she left a note at my bedside, Mom, run from this man. He's not my father. This is what happened, and this is how wicked he is. Now here I am, my daughter is dead. I no longer have a husband because he's the cause of my daughter's death. And that's why I'm taking antidepressant. Can you help me with something else? I'm saying, my brother, what would it take for my eyes to open? Oh my Lord, how many more catastrophes do I have to see? Oh my Lord, how many more deaths do I have to witness? Oh my Lord, when will my eyes open? She left this note here, Mom, leave this man and run. This is not a husband, and that's not a father of mine. Personal, private, immoral, and then only to discover I'm talking to my own dad, my own biological father. She couldn't handle it. She committed suicide. And that's the note she leaves. Now, how do you console this woman? Where do you start? لَأُتِيحَنَّ لَهُمْ فِتْنَةً يَصِيرُ الْحَلِيمُ فِيهَا حَيْرَانَ يَصِيرُ الْحَلِيمُ فِيهَا حَيْرَانَ كَنْزُ الْعُمَّالِ A time will come. Such daunting challenges will come on this ummah. Leave the masses and the general. It will leave the learned and the wise also speechless. They also won't know what to tell you. So coming back to that hadith, and I want to wrap up on that hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam only smiled. He said nothing more. Anyway, فَبُدِئَ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَجْعُهُ أَلَّذِي مَاتَ فِيهِ He came back from Jannatul Baqi. Aisha radiallahu anha said, we had this bit of discussion, headache, my headache, his headache, who'll go first type of a thing. And then it just ended off there, and here the fatal illness started. And now he just started deteriorating. And day by day, the hell just started coming down. And obviously I started seeing symptoms, and my panic started increasing. My fear started increasing that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to pass away. The narration of Mishkat, it appears in the second volume, Sharh al-Sunnah. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes, and then he comes to visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya Rasulallah, inna Allah arsalani ilayka takreeman laka wa tashreefan lak. Allah has sent me to you, exclusively to you. Kayfa tajiduk, to ask you, how are you feeling? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ajiduni ya Jibreel mahzunan makrooban. Jibreel, to be honest, I'm not feeling good. My health is deteriorating. Jibreel Amin goes away. The next day he comes back, poses the same question, gets the same answer. The third day he comes, and in Mazahir-e-Haq Jadid, the whole explanation to the riwayat is given. O Nabi of Allah, I've come to ask you again, and Allah has sent me, and I've got some visitors with today. I've got the angel Ismail, who's in charge of the angels of the first heaven. And I also have Malakul Maut. So these are the visitors that have come, and there's a presence of Malaika. If you allow, O Nabi of Allah, Malakul Maut would like to speak to you. مَسْتَأْذَنَ عَلَىٰ أَدْمِيٍ قَبْلَكَ وَلَا يَسْتَأْذِنُ عَلَىٰ أَدْمِيٍ بَعْدَكَ. I must set the record correctly. I have ushered Jibreel into many, many situations, and he had to take out the souls of people at many catastrophes, and he had to respond to many situations. This is the first, and definitely the last, where he asks permission to enter. This is the first, and definitely the last. He is seeking permission. If you allow him, I'll usher him in, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if you decline, then I will then motion him to excuse himself. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Jibreel, let him come in. So Malakul Maut then comes in. And then Malakul Maut directly communicates with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just as my opening comments were, the greatest moment was the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Undoubtedly, there cannot be a sadder moment in the annals of human history than the demise of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Malakul Maut says, Inna Allah arsalani ilayka liaqbidha ruhak, fa in shi'ta qabadtu ruhak. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah has sent me and Allah has tasked me that I politely, gently remove your soul. If you consent, I will try and master the courage and bring myself to it and gradually try and remove your soul. And if you decline, I will respect it and back off. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Awatafal, O Malakul Maut, will you do this? He said, Bidhalika umirtu wa umirtu an ati'ak. I've been given two tasks. I've got to obey you, and at the same time, I've got to remove your soul. The narration suggests, for a moment, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam cast his blessed glance to Jibreel. And the scholars of hadith say that glance was a glance of consultation. Imagine that Nabi whose advisor was Jibreel. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, and from this we learn something very amazing, the scholars tell us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have two ministers and advisors on the heavens and two advisors on the earth. مَا مِن نَبِيٍ إِلَّا وَلَهُ وَزِيرَانِ مِنْ أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ وَوَزِيرَانِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ فَأَمَّا وَزِيرَايَ مِنْ أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ فَجِبْرِيلْ وَمِيكَائِيلْ وَأَمَّا وَزِيرَانِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ فَأَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرْ. My advisors in the heavens are Jibreel and Mikael, and my advisors on the earth are Abu Bakr and Umar. And the scholars say that if you have to make a decision in the presence of others, then consult with the one that is there, and we learn from this hadith. Nabi Sassam did not have the luxury of consulting with Mikael and consulting with anyone else. So only Jibreel was there. There was a glance, and that glance was a glance of consultation. And Jibreel said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I understand the sentiments of that glance, and if you are consulting, then let me be honest. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ اشْتَاقَ إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ اشْتَاقَ إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ. Allah is passionately anticipating your return. Allah is passionately anticipating your return. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam motioned Malakul Maut that go ahead and do what has to happen. I don't want to imagine how daunting a challenge it must have been for Malakul Maut, how difficult a task, not to hurt, not to offend, not to create any agony, and yet to remove, and then he removes the soul of the greatest human that the planet Earth has ever seen. Fatima radiallahu anha said, Subbat alayya masaibu, لو أنها صبت على الأيام عدنا لياليا. that such a calamity and catastrophe has fallen upon me on the death of my father, that if it falls on the day, even the day won't able to obey it, instantly it will turn into night. Instantly it will turn into night. مَاذَا عَلَى مَنْ شَمَّ تُرْبَةَ أَحْمَدٍ أَلَّا يَشُمَّ مَدَى الزَّمَانِ غَوَالِيًا مَاذَا عَلَى مَنْ شَمَّ تُرْبَةَ أَحْمَدٍ أَلَّا يَشُمَّ مَدَى الزَّمَانِ غَوَالِيًا The one who was privileged to smell the sand from the grave of my father will not need fragrance for the rest of his life. The one who has smelt the soil of the grave of my father will not need fragrance for the rest of his life. On that note, I leave you, and I leave you with a question mark hanging, and let that be the thought-provoking sentiments that spurs you on for the rest of your life. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's death, which marks the saddest moment, happened in this way, where his consent was asked, and there was a heavy presence of angels. Definitely that is not the way in which my soul will be taken out. The angel will make his sudden appearance, he will come barging, and he will forcefully remove the soul. We cry, we beg, and we beseech Allah that when the angel of death comes, he doesn't find us in a casino. He doesn't find us in a club. He doesn't find us chatting with haram women. He doesn't find us in a state of intoxication. He doesn't find us at a point that we have severed ties with our parents. He doesn't find us while we are socializing immorally in a haram way. We beg, we beseech, and we cry to Almighty Allah that He allows the angel of death to locate us in this gathering, in a place of masjid, in a remembrance of Allah, with all the evil traces that have been taken away from us. For verily the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كَمَا تَعِيشُونَ تَمُوتُونَ وَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ تُحْشَرُونَ The manner in which you spend your daily routine, so will the angel of death find you, and on that note will you stand before your Creator. Allah bless us with a noble and an enviable death. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين.